Think back, if you would, you and I have sat down and had a licking meal at your table. Every bite seems to get better than the first bite. And as we go, our stomach was saying thank you. And our brain is saying how super, how delicious, how great this meal really is. Then all of a sudden, moving at 5 miles an hour, wings beating 345 times a second, eyes that have 4,000 different parts so they can see your plate of food come flying over the table. What is it? It's an old dreaded housefly that begins to fly and worry us to death sitting over the table. Now our first thought is, why would God create such a thing? And the next thing is to find a fly swatter and swat him halfway across the room. I often have one. It happens to be a game cup. We got any game cups in the house? Amen. That's good. God was in that. God was in that. And before you hit that fly, I want you to think about that fly for just a moment. Stop and realize that in the Temple of Actium years ago, the Greeks used to sacrifice annually an ox to the god of the fly. An ox. At Rome, the sacrifice was offered to flies in the Temple of Hercules Victor. Then the Syrians offered sacrifices to that same tiny tormentor that worries us to death when we're trying to eat our meals. They say they simply adore the fly. Now the word adore means to worship and to glorify and to prize and to cherish. Now it's amazing to me that they worship a fly. But it's also amazing to me what we as God's children will worship today. That temper that you worship can't help you. That boat that you worship can't help you. That house at the beach that you worship can't help you. That money in the bank that you worship can't help you. Can I tell you, the only one that we need to adore is the Lord Jesus Christ. I am here to declare to you that we our problem is that we want to adore everything else and everybody else except our Redeemer. If you are anything, ever will be anything, it's not because of you and who your last name may be. If you are anything, ever will be anything, it is because of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're saved by His grace, kept by Him every single day. And so over the next few weeks of the month of November, I am going to bring you a series of messages on why we should adore our Redeemer. Why we should adore our Redeemer. Cedar Grove Church is not about Ron, it's about the Lord Jesus Christ. Cedar Grove Church is not about you, it's about the Lord Jesus Christ. And if I get in the way, or you get in the way, so we are adore our Redeemer. And I stopped and thought, where are we going to stop? And this morning, I want to start with our blessings. We ought to adore Him because we have been so blessed. I thought about, I could tell you how blessed we are to have the book. Thank God for His Word, the Bible. Thank God. I could tell you that that's one of the blessings. I could tell you today, I thank God for the blessing of my birth. You say, oh, that is good. I'm glad to be alive. Oh, I'm glad to be alive. But I thank God for my second birth. Amen. Amen. I could spend some time on that. I could tell you that the greatest blessing of all is the blood of the Lord Jesus.
about the blessings of God. Whether you realize it or not, you have been blessed far more than you deserve.
Amen.
Will you realize it or not, even with all of our issues and problems that we may have gone through, I will tell you today that Cedar Grove is still a blessed church.
Amen.
And when we talk about being blessed, I want you and I to get the clear picture of why I think we're so blessed. In Genesis chapter 49, Jacob was up on his deathbed. He was just waiting on his heart to stop. And in his final words, upon his deathbed, he began to look at his sons. He had watched them for many years, and he knew their habits and their strengths and their weaknesses, and he knew everything there was about them. And now the Lord allows him to kindly see out there in the future. And on his deathbed, it says, verse 1, that he called unto his sons, and he said, "Guys, come and gather yourself around me. I may tell you that which is going to happen to you in the last day." So as his dying dad was there on his deathbed, he began to share with them. And in the start of this chapter, he begins to call them in. He calls Reuben in, and Simon in, and Levi, and Judah, and Issachar, and Dan, and Gad, and Asher, and Naphtali. And then he came to Joseph. Now Joseph is the first son of Rachel, and he received the highest praise of all the sons. And so what did he say about Joseph? Look at verse 22. Joseph is a fruitful bull, even a fruitful bull by a way, whose branches run over the wall. Here's what this dad said. He said that Joseph is a man of vigor. He's a man of dreams, of moral and spiritual strength. And that his life exemplified all that was best in the realm of the Old Testament. He was something else. And you know why God blessed him so? God blessed him because of his lifestyle. You get things right with God, you get where God wants you to be. You may go through some rough, dark places, but I want you to know God will bless you.
Amen.
Same way you get out of where God wants you to be, start doing your own thing, you will pay the price for being away from God.
Amen.
He was so blessed. Why? Because of his fruitfulness. It says twice that he was fruitful. What he's saying is that he was a fruitful tree or a vine. His daily conduct revealed that he was a servant of the Lord. He bore fruit. God blesses those who bear fruit for him. How much fruit have you borne lately? Does anybody ever notice your fruit? Our church has borne some fruit this year. We've had some folks come to know Christ this year. I want you to understand, anytime you have folks who come to know Jesus, God is blessing you.
Amen,
amen, amen, amen. We can suffer financially and have to make do and cut this and cut that. But I'll tell you one thing, we better never cut out winning souls to Jesus.
Amen.
So God's blessed us. Some of you in your daily life, you bore some fruit and God's blessed you for it. God has richly gave you many blessings this past year. And some of you have borne no fruit. Can I tell you what God's looking for? Fruit. Fruit. No most of the times all he sees is a bunch of leaves with no fruit. Most of the time all God hears is a bunch of talk with no action.
Yeah.
Now how was it that Joseph was able to bear fruit? Here's why. Because it says that he was by a way in that country. The water made the difference between being sterile and being fruitful. In that day, moisture always guaranteed fruit. If there was no water, the tree would produce no fruit. You know what Joseph did? He set up and stayed by the way where the water was. You know what his water was? The water was his Lord. I'll tell you something. He just totally depended upon the Lord. I'll tell you what we ought to do. Stay with me, church. Listen. I'll tell you what we ought to do. We're to stay near to Christ, to the well of living water, and drink from the nourishment of His Holy Spirit. And when we do that, we can't help but bear fruit. Woman at the well, I'm about to give you some water like you've never tasted before. Take a drink and you will see. Church, you can't go by the well and not drink any of the water.
Amen.
He bore fruit because he was by the way. He stayed close to the Lord. Deeper we get our roots into Christ, the more moisture we're going to have in our lives. And the more moisture we have in our lives, the more fruit we will produce. Can I tell you? Everybody look. Can I tell you something? If you're not bearing any fruit, quit blaming God. He's gave you everything you need to bear fruit.
Amen.
How? Even though the well is hidden in my life, even though the well is hitting in your life, our fruit will bear to the very fact that we've been to the well.
Amen.
Church, I'm inviting you to go to the well. Last Sunday morning, I stood here and told you to get out of town. Well, I'm going to go ahead and tell you, when you get out of town, why don't you go sit down at the well for a little while? He was fruitful. And he was faithful. The branches ran over the wall. His fruit was hanging out there for everybody to see. You know something? He didn't try to hide his relationship with the Lord. Church, I don't care what your position in society might be. If you're ashamed of Jesus Christ, he ought to be totally ashamed of you.
That's right.
I don't care who you are. Oh, Joseph wasn't afraid of what everybody thought. Past buyers could see his fruit. Can I ask you a question? Anybody passed by your life lately and saw a bunch of fruit hanging from you? If they hadn't, you better go back to the well. It's one thing to bear fruit in the vineyard behind the wall. It's another thing to bear fruit over the wall so everybody can see it. It's one thing to come in here and bear fruit at church, but it's quite another thing for somebody at work to know that you've been with Jesus. Oh, it's easy to sing the song sitting in here beside your neighbor. It is hard to live for Jesus outside these walls. You know something? What the world is looking for is some genuine fruit. Remember, God blesses those who are fruitful and faithful. Now let me tell you this, 5 minutes to 12, and that was the appetizer. The meal hadn't come yet. Let me share just several quick things. There's no way. What does Jacob say to this man? He said he's a good man, but here's what he says when he begins to share some things. Now here's what he had. Listen. Joseph was blessed because of his blesser. You know something? If there's going to be any blessings, there must be a blesser. And Joseph was blessed because of the blesser. Can I tell you today, every one of us looking in this building, sitting in this building today, thank God we all have a blesser.
Amen.
Amen. Thank God that we have somebody who watches over us when we're too dumb to watch ourselves.
Amen.
We have a blesser. And he tells me about it. Look at verse 23. The archers have sorely grieved him, shot at him, hated him. Look at verse 24. But his bow bowed in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. Can I introduce you to our blesser? Here's what it tells me. It tells me that he is sovereign, the mighty God of Jacob. He's not weak. He's not some kind of idol. No, no, no. Church, we've got a mighty, living, sovereign God.
Amen.
He was Judas. We got a God that knows all things, has all things in his hands. He's got everything. What's going to happen Tuesday in the presidential election? I have no idea. But I will tell you, it doesn't matter what does happen. The world is still in God's hands. This is the one that blessed Joseph. Everything we have is from our sovereign blesser. He said a second thing. He said, well, not only is he sovereign, he said he's my shepherd. It said, from this is the shepherd. What's the job of the shepherd? It's simply to take care of the sheep. If a shepherd does not care for the sheep, he's not much of a shepherd. And Joseph was blessed because he knew the shepherd of shepherds.
Amen.
I am blessed today. I have a shepherd that loves me.
Amen.
I have a shepherd that cares for me. And I'll tell you what you can do. You can go out and look for a replacement for you, another shepherd if you want, but I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to stick with the one I have.
Amen.
He is my son. Shepherd, and he blesses me every day. There's always water in the tub. There's always sweet feed in the trough. Thank God for the shepherd who takes care of us.
Amen.
He's my shepherd. Our shepherd has never left us alone. When we live with faithfulness and fruitfulness, our sovereign shepherd will bless us. And he said this, and the blesser has another thing. He's sovereign. He's our shepherd. Did you notice the last few words? The stone of Israel. He was Joseph's rock. I tell you, I am standing on sinking sand. Thank God there's a solid rock close by.
Amen.
There's a solid rock. And he is somebody that won't sink when troubles come. And Joseph found him as his stone. He had a firm foundation. You might move me out of the way, but I'll tell you what you won't ever do. You won't ever have the strength, nor the power, nor the ability to move the stone out of the way.
Amen.
Those weak little waybays would have never rolled back that stone that day when they went to the sepulcher. No, 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 no. They couldn't have the strength to, but they didn't have to. Guess what? God had already taken care of the stone.
Amen.
We have a blessing. He is sovereign, our shepherd, our stone, and he blesses us every day.
Amen.
And in this same verse, he shares about his blessings. When you have the blesser, you can't help but be blessed.
Right.
When you live for the blesser, he will bless you. You might not feel good physically sometimes, but I've got news for you. The blesser is still close by. And the closer you get to him, the more he's going to bless you. You know what he blesses us with? Listen, and I'm going to let you. He blesses us with personal blessings. Our blesser blesses nations. If you don't believe that today, in all of our hurt and our heartache, we still live in a blessed nation.
Amen.
Hey, listen, you're living here. Can you not say amen?
Amen.
In a blessed nation. He's given us far more than what we deserve as a nation. But then he blesses churches. He's blessing us. But then he blesses us personally. Balcony, you're blessed. Those of you sitting in the back of our building, you're blessed. Those sitting in the front of this building, you're blessed. Can I tell those that's in our nurseries, they're blessed. Those who watch this service online, you're blessed. Can I tell you something? While we're blessed, he blesses us personally every day.
Amen.
And he blessed us. What have we just said? Count your many blessings. Name them one by one. It may surprise you what the Lord has done. How did he bless us? Well, I'm going to show you how he blessed us. It says that he blessed him with strength. Now, if you went back to verse 23, it said that he was a like man. They shot arrows at him. They come after him. He had many archers that were after him. Joseph was. They came because of envy. They came because of jealousy. They came because of hatred. They shot at him all the time. The most devious, hardcore people that you could find, they hated Joseph, and they shot darts at him all the time. Let me give you a little secret. If you bear fruit and you're faithful to the Lord, not everybody will like you.
Amen.
And if you're in this thing and thinking everybody's going to like you, I'm going to tell you and burst your bubble today, I'm sorry to tell you, the higher you get up with God and the closer you get to Him, the more people ain't going to like you.
Amen.
But let me remind you this. As long as God is satisfied with you, isn't that all that matters to start with? He gave me strength. We will be persecuted. But God will give us strength. Did you know what it said? His bow was made straight. He could fight his battles because the Lord gave him strength. How do we keep going on? In the Lord's strength. How do we get up tomorrow? With the Lord's strength. How do we go on when somebody shot a dart out at us? We go on with the Lord's strength.
Right.
I like this. Those of you who paid halfway attention was with us last Sunday. You remember me telling you, don't ever set up camp in the cave. You can walk around it, walk through it, stop by it every once in a while. Don't ever set up and lodge in the cave. I'll tell you where you need to lodge. It said that he abode in strength. You know where you need to set up your camp? In the strength of the Lord.
Amen.
Stay out of camp. Stay with the Lord. He gave him strength. He gave him security. He said his hands were made strong. What do we fight with? Our hands. Our hands. Our hands. No greater security than the Lord himself. Joseph didn't have to worry. Joseph didn't have to fear. He had the greatest alarm system in all of the world. He had the Lord taking care of him. And I've got news for you. I'm better off with the Lord in my heart than I am a pistol in my pocket.
Amen.
He's my Savior. He gives us personal blessings. He gives us plentiful blessings. God never does anything halfway, church.
Amen.
When he blesses with plenty. Look at verse 25. I'm hurrying. Look at verse. Even by the God of thy Father, who shall help thee, and by the Almighty, who shall bless thee from blessings of heaven above. He gives us permanent blessings. Blessings of heaven above. You know what comes from heaven? I'll tell you what blessings I've got in heaven. I've got a mansion in heaven that you can't touch. That's perfect. I got a Jesus living inside of me that you can't jerk out of my heart. That's permanent.
Amen.
That's permanent blessings that come down from me from heaven. I don't deserve them. That's why he sent them down to me. Perfect. Blessings upon the cross by rain. That's permanent blessings. But then he goes on. He gives us present blessings. Blessings of the deep. You know what he's talking about? That means the little things that he gives us every day that we take for granted. Do you know something? Go with me this afternoon when you and I load up my little truck and we'll go to some places and I'll show you some folks who couldn't put their clothes on today by mistake.
That's right.
Go with me. I'll show you some folks who can't feed themselves any longer. I'm going to go ahead and tell you, our God is so good to us that he gives us present blessings every single day. He has blessed us. He takes care of us when we can't take care of ourselves. Then he gives us prosperous blessings. From the blessings of the breast and of the womb. You know what that means? That we prosper and we grow. We prosper with the milk and we grow. We prosper and we grow. I want you to understand today. We have a blesser who sure does bless us. When you walk out of this sanctuary in a few moments, whatever you do with the Lord is between you and the Lord. I can't do anything else. But I'm going to tell you this. When you stand up today, thank God that you're able to stand. When you walk down the aisle of this building, climb down the steps from that balcony, you walk across the parking lot, thank God that you're able to walk.
Amen.
Some people say, I can't get around like I used to. Just thank God you're able to get around at all. When you get in that car and you turn that switch, whatever kind of car it is, it doesn't matter what kind of car it is, the most elaborate car sitting in our parking lot to the most car that you think's not worth anything sitting in the park, I'm going to tell you, if it's your car and it runs and it goes, it's precious to you.
Amen.
Amen. Everybody agree? That's right. When you turn that switch and that car starts and you pull it down and drive and then you begin to move, you ought to thank God.
Amen.
When you're able to sit out a little while and play the food, do something more than just say the little blessing. Thank God for every meal that he's given you up to today. Brother Butch and I was in a restaurant Thursday night. I went with him to the prison over in Pickens County. And he asked the waitress to say the blessing for us. And it just stunned her that we asked her to say the blessing for us. Said, would you just say our blessing for us? And she looked at us like strangers. It's kind of strange. Butch is a whole lot stranger than me, so she was staring at him a whole lot more than me. But here's what she said. She didn't refuse. She said, God is good. God is great. Let us thank him for our food. You say, oh, that wasn't nothing. I'm going to tell you what it done. It made her stop and think about how good God is and where our food comes from. And then when you lay down in that recliner after a while, thank God that you have a house and a roof and a recliner and a TV. Thank God that when you get thirsty, you go walk to the refrigerator, get a glass of tea, a bottle of water. Church, that's the little things that God gives us that we forget about every single day. I thank the Lord to adore our Redeemer because of our blessings. Let me say this on the way we stand. When we go into polls on Tuesday and vote for President of the United States, there's one thing as we vote for the President of the United States, we vote for all the other offices and all these kind of stuff. There's one thing about it. On that ballot, nothing will be there that says, I vote yes or no for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It may not be on a ballot, but bless God, everybody in this building want to vote yes to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
Amen.
He is our blessing.